Hour number two brought to you by SM Athletics. We know spring is here. That means summer's right around the corner. Vacation, Bible school. Then you get to football season, fall ball season. You're going to have uniform equipment needs. If you are a team mom or dad, you're going to need it. Commissioner of the league, you're going to need a good place to get your gear made. You also just might be someone that needs some screen print or embroidery stuff done. Well, our friends at SM Athletics can handle it all for you. Excellent customer service, great products at a fair price. So when they say it is done, it's done right and on time every time. And if it's not done right, they'll make it right. Because, you know, no one bats 100%. Even if you're 99%, 99.5%, it still leaves a little bit of like, hey, sometimes the machine messes up. Hey, sometimes something happens. If that's the case, they make it right. That is a part of the great customer service that I am promising you. Don't chance it with unreliable megastores or online orders. Give SM Athletics a call today at 865-966-3434. You can visit them online at smathletics.com. All right, Sam, before we get heavy on the draft, tell us what else we missed from the night before.
Well, leading up to the draft, a couple Bengals players have made it known that they are wanting to be traded out of Cincinnati. As three-time Pro Bowler defensive end Trey Hendrickson, he has requested his trade out of Cincinnati. He is due $15 million this year, looking for a little bit more money than that, obviously. And Cincinnati not exactly willing to offer that contract to him, as they are, you know, gearing up here to pay Ja'Marr Chase handsomely. And that also has to do with T. Higgins, as he was a rumor for a while this offseason about a trade, a tag and trade, maybe something like that. He stays put for a little bit, but now T. Higgins has also requested a trade. I'm sure that one will have a lot of people, you know, just keeping an eye out in terms of draft day trades and things like that.
Just last week, I feel like he said, like, yeah, no, I'm going to play in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And now his agent's like, no, you're not.
No.
We're requesting a trade. Hendrickson's in the last year of his contract, wants a long-term deal, and they don't want to give it to him, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 in December. It's not always the end for elite pass rushers, though, right? I mean, and Hendrickson,
he's good.
Yeah, we don't think of him as like among the like actual like elites, but like he's tier two or top of tier three. Like, he's really good.
Yeah.
Now maybe he views himself as elite and as the top of the tier. I don't know. But they need him on that defense. They need him more than they need T. Higgins, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so, too. It'll be interesting to see who gets moved from there.
Cincinnati, when you're paying Joe Burrow big money, you're getting ready to pay Ja'Marr Chase big money, yeah, you're going to start having to make some decisions, I guess.
Yeah. That owner doesn't love paying people either.
No.
You also don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
No. Like they're one of the poorest teams. And, like, the thing, I don't know if a lot of people understand, like, when you give these big contracts – you actually have to have the cash. So, like, when you promise someone $100 million guaranteed, you have to have $100 million in cash that you put into, like, a fund that the NFL, like, has. Because when you guarantee it, like, you don't necessarily have to give it to them all, like, at the beginning. I guess they can, you know, draw some interest on it and all that. But, like, you have to actually have the cash. They said that's why the Raiders had to trade Khalil Mack. Was that, you know, Davis didn't want to, but he just didn't have $100 million guaranteed that he could, like, actually get his hands on. So he's like, let's just trade him. So, like, yeah, like they've given the big money to Burrow. They've had that guaranteed money. So, like, yeah, when you start adding it up, like, I don't know if the Bengals owner actually has the cash. Like, their money's from the team. Kind of like the Lakers and Jenny Buss and all that. They always talk about how she's kind of broke when you actually look at the billionaire owners. Like, her asset's worth a lot. She can get some money. But when you actually look compared to, like, the hedge fund people or the oil people or whatever that actually have billions of dollars.
I think the Bears are kind of the same way, too.
In terms of poor or?
Yeah, like, I think the
maybe, I don't know.
Team is, like, the only thing that the McCaskey family has, basically.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, like, those owners that are, like, grandfathered in or, like, you know, get it passed down don't always have as much cash as the people that come in and buy it with billions of dollars that they've shown in assets. So, like, it does create a haves and haves not type of thing. So that's something to watch with the Bengals, who are also just – the owners have been notoriously cheap, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still practicing outside.
Right. Right. But, I mean, that's part of
– Remember McAfee's big rant that they're, like, practicing under an interstate, like, yeah. An overpass, basically.
But, yeah, like, that's part of the reason why they ain't got no money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these people have money. The Detroit Lions made room for some big name deals yesterday as they secure their top wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He gets a four-year deal, $120 million, 77 of that guaranteed. They also go out and get Penei Sewell, lockdown, all-pro tackle, 4 years, $112 million. That one has $85 million guaranteed. Obviously, two huge just pieces for that Lions team going forward. Young guys that have, you know, proven it immediately when they've been drafted and have really been kind of the part of that group that has turned around that Lions franchise up there with Dan Campbell and everything. So they get them paid before draft day.
Two cornerstones, lockdown.
Yeah.
Lockdown. That was the most guaranteed money given out, right, for a wide receiver?
I believe so.
With Amon-Ra St. Brown. So
I believe so.
You talk about the market kind of getting reset, and you look at those things, and Amon-Ra St. Brown edges out Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp did have the highest guarantee at $75 million. So, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown now number one. First to market when it comes to these big extensions recently. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, those guys will blow past him. But if you're Amon-Ra St. Brown and you're a fourth-round pick, I believe, that middle of the fourth round?
Yeah.
Because, like, right behind Des Fitzpatrick, right, who was a fourth-round pick for the Titans.
Yeah.
If you're him, you didn't get necessarily the big first contract that some of these guys got. So you don't need to hold out for as much money as possible. Just take what you could get in terms of record-breaking money and be happy. And, of course, Penei Sewell, stud tackle for them. Take care of him.
Yeah.
Top seven highest wide receiver guarantees in NFL history. Does it interest you? Do you want to know the numbers?
Sure.
Do you know who it is? Number seven, Julio Jones, $64 million. Number six, Odell Beckham, $65 million. Number five, Devontae Adams with the Raiders, 65.6. Number four, Stephon Diggs with the Bills, 70 million. Tyreek Hill, 72.2 with the Dolphins. Cooper Kupp, 75 with the Rams. And now Amon-Ra St. Brown, 77. Justin Jefferson is going to end up in like the $85, $90 million range, right?
90, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That contract's going to be nuts.
I do love what the Lions are doing, man. It just, you know what I mean? It just feels like after all these years, they get it now, you know? I mean, they're you know, protecting their talent. They're good for them, man.
Jared Goff's still relatively cheap for them too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in today's quarterback market.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know how many more years he has left on his contract and how big of a contract he's going to ask for.
A year... I want to say a year, but maybe two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which means you don't know.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that means you don't know.
Bill Belichick, he will make his debut tonight with Pat McAfee in terms of NFL draft analyst, but will also announce that he will plan to be a featured guest on some of the Manning casts next year. Obviously, those have been a success with Peyton and Eli doing the Manning cast, but they'll get Bill Belichick in there, and I think that'll be a nice little wrinkle to those. You get a little player coach interaction. I think in those games, I think it'll be really nice.
I would much rather watch that than have them bring on Mark Wahlberg watch a game with them. I mean, that's the part of the Manning cast I think that's failing. I think I love hearing those, you know, Peyton and Eli talk ball. Or if they bring on another pro player, but if they have Belichick on there, that could be gold.
Did you say McAfee and Belichick?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing the draft stuff with McAfee.
Today and tonight, he's going to be on with McAfee.
Okay.
Not like, you know, reoccurring McAfee.
No, but I don't think, or anything like that. I heard Manning cast. So wait, Belichick's doing the Manning cast too, or just McAfee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing Manning cast next season.
Okay, so not tonight. They're not doing a Manning cast tonight for the draft.
I'm just saying he's getting started.
I got you. I was hearing different things. Looking up. Jared Goff's contract expires at the end of this year.
I told you.
He's in one or two.
Yeah, he's in the Monday Night Football cast next year to be on the Manning cast.
Gotcha. Okay. But he's doing McAfee today, like during the actual day McAfee
he'll be
show?
On, but I think they're doing coverage tonight as well.
Okay, he's doing
they're in Detroit, too. The McAfee show.
Hey,
is.
Pat McAfee, Bill Belichick. Or Marcus Young, Tucker Harlan. You make your decision because I know what I'll be watching tonight. I know what draft coverage I'll be paying attention to, and that's Marcus Young, Roman the Free, and Tucker Harlan, a.k.a. Young Philip Fulmer, a.k.a. Young Jimmy Himes, a.k.a. Tuck Nasty. I know what I'll be doing the overtime guys. I'll be hanging out here drinking some White Claws, talking some ball. Bill Belichick, Pat McAfee. Yeah, give me Roman. Give me Roman the Free, which is Marcus's Twitter handle for some reason. I don't know what it is. I feel like I asked and I still don't know.
In my defense.
Anything else?
NBA awards. Naz Reid, he wins Sixth Man of the Year, edging out Malik Monk. Becomes the third undrafted player ever to win Sixth Man of the Year. Good for him. Naz Reid, I feel like, is coming into his own. A guy that, you know, was, I think, coming out of high school, I kind of knew him a little bit as a prospect.
I mean, he was a five-star prospect, yeah, right? Coming out of high school, going to LSU. I want to say he was a five-star.
Yeah, he was a sought-after prospect for sure.
He looked like a grown man at LSU right off the bat. I mean,
a little underachieving. You know, the facts, I don't think he was as good as he should have been at LSU. And then, of course, going undrafted, like, you see now, like, that's probably not what should have happened in his career. Or maybe he had to get knocked down to get back up. I don't know. Maybe the five-star mentality is the reason he underachieved, and like being the scrappy underdog kind of helped. But like the talent's always been there as the number 22 player in the country in his draft or in his high school recruiting class, five-star mm-hmm. prospect. I like Naz Reid's game a lot. Like he's really good, and it just kind of stinks for him that he's on Minnesota with like two other big men that are kind of ahead of him.
I really thought Malik Monk, part of it is I think he got hurt late in the season, but I really thought it was his award to win. He played so well this year.
He did, but I think when you're Naz Reid and you showed that you could start whenever, you know, Towns was hurt a little bit.
True.
But also, like, you're on a team that was the one seed for most of the year. I think it's okay to reward winning there versus Monk, who, you know, was on a disappointing team this year. You know, if I was Minnesota, I wouldn't necessarily, like, be terrified of trading Karl-Anthony Towns and just putting Naz Reid out there at the four because he could shoot, and I don't know how much you would actually lose in terms of if you could trade him and get, like, because, like, I feel like Minnesota needs a point guard. Like, Mike Conley's getting up there in age. He's steady, but, like, I think if they could upgrade point guard, they could be the best team in the West moving forward. And if you just swapped Towns for a point guard, I don't know who that point guard would be. Maybe Trae Young. I don't know.
Say.
I don't know, but I don't know. Naz Reid's pretty good. Anything else?
That's about it.
Good job by you. We'll talk NFL draft probably for most of the rest of the show. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Oh, it's draft day. NFL first round. NFL is king. And the draft is a big event. 6 million people watched the draft last year. Titans, not on the clock yet, Sam, but it does feel like we are in a nice pivot position. Bob, how are you feeling this morning?
About the draft, I'm excited. I'm like I was saying at the top of the show, I think there's been a lot of buildup. Every year it seems like the buildup becomes larger and larger, but I think this one's got a chance to be super interesting. Anytime you've got as many quarterbacks in the conversation as there is in this draft, I think that's always that piques interest because that's the position in the game. I'm excited to watch. I'm really hoping for some little bit of chaos, you know, a little bit of trade activity. You know, there's some chatter. Yeah, it could go either way. Obviously, there could just be chalk as what we've seen on some of the mock drafts and everything. But I'm of the mind that there's probably going to be some movement. So I'm looking forward to it.
What is the biggest storyline as we sit here on draft day? A mere 11 and a half, 11:45, 12 hours away from the first pick. What's the biggest storyline?
For me, I think there's two. We've spent some time talking about one of them, and that's this whole fascination with J.J. McCarthy. Is he legit? Is he or is he Blake Bortles? You know, there's that, or could he be a lot of chatter, like what we saw last year to a degree with Will Levis, you know, and then he falls. I don't think he'd fall as far as Will Levis, but he could fall down into the, you know, the early double-digit picks. I think that's a big story. And then hand-in-hand with that for me is I've heard a little bit from the Patriots and Gerard Mayo. What are they going to do with that third pick? There's still some belief that they're out there listening, and if they can get draft capital, you know, they need a quarterback, but they could maybe move down, and maybe they're not as wedded to a Drake May or a J.J. McCarthy as somebody else would be. And so those are the two most interesting storylines for me. I think McCarthy's probably the most interesting for a lot of people of where he's going to land, but I think the Patriots, it seems to me, I don't think the Bears, I don't think the Commanders are going to be doing much. I think we kind of know what they're going to do. But, yeah, those are the two for me.
Sam, any storylines that are standing out to you 12 hours away from the madness?
I think, to me, my big storyline is just that there's not many top-name defensive guys at the top of this draft. I think that you could see, like, the first 10 or 12 picks just be all offensive guys.
The latest a first round has ever gone with no defensive picks was the Patrick Surtain draft. So that would have been a couple years ago. Is that 19? 21? When was Surtain drafted?
I think 20.
Okay. Patrick Surtain being drafted at number 8 was the latest it's gone ever. So Atlanta's right there at number 8.
21 draft.
Okay. Atlanta right there at number 8.
That's where a defensive player will come off the board, if so, probably.
Unless there's a trade. But, like, exactly. Atlanta, you know, could easily trade down. But, like, they've been pretty much mocked with Dallas. Is it
Dallas Turner?
Yeah, Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
They want the edge rusher from Alabama. They want to add him. Like, that's been the talk pretty much every mock draft. So, like, if Atlanta doesn't do it at 8, if someone trades up, then, yeah, we would set a record for most offensive picks to start a draft. We're already looking at tying it. Because I don't think there's any real chance that a defensive player goes in the top 7.
Mm-mm.
I haven't seen any real defensive players get mocked in the top 7 in a long time from reputable people.
I've seen some mocks where there's not a defensive player going until 12. I mean, that is a really interesting wrinkle, Sam.
Is that a statement just on the state of, like, hey, offense matters so much, and you got to have a quarterback, you got to be able to protect the quarterback, and you also got to be able to catch touchdowns? Or is it just like, hey, this is kind of an anomaly of a year and just no real elite prospect on defense?
Yeah, I feel it's kind of the second part of that. I do think it's maybe a deeper draft in terms of offensive linemen and wide receivers. And then obviously I think, you know, what we've been talking about in terms of the quarterback class in next year's draft being so weak, I think you'll see a lot of teams, if they do like a quarterback prospect this year, I think this is the year that, you know, you go up and you kind of make that move. So it is interesting that, you know, you've got a lot of depth in some positions of need that's every year in terms of offensive line and wide receivers and quarterbacks.
I'm interested in the trade market, not moving up and down for prospects. I'm interested in the wide receiver market with T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk. I think that's where I am maybe most intrigued by right now. You know, whenever we get to the actual clock ticking and the picks coming in, the Titans, of course, will have my focus. But I'm interested in what – and maybe like New England is tied into that, what they do at 3. There's a chance New England strikes gold here. And New England has a chance to maybe set themselves up. Like, it might not be the worst investment right now, Sam. I know you don't like future bets. It might not be the worst investment right now just to look to see what New England's division odds are, because they had an elite defense last year, and there's a chance they come out of this with a good rookie quarterback and then, like, a good veteran receiver. Because if I'm the Patriots and I got picks at the top of the second round, like, hey, I'm not giving you a first-round pick, but, like, hey, if you're interested in, like, a really good second-round pick for either Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, like, you know, maybe I'm kicking the tires there if I'm New England. And I can come out of this with both a good young rookie quarterback, which will be an upgrade. Like, no matter who they get at number 3, whether it be Caleb Williams, not going to be, whether it be Jayden Daniels, probably not going to be, or Drake May, it's probably likely that that rookie is going to be at least as good as what Mac Jones was last year. And that means that guy's borderline bust. But there's a chance that that quarterback is going to be actually good and better. Right. And then if you can come out of this with a playmaker, too, and you have a new defense, or you know, a defense that was really good last year, even after it got hurt and you lost your two best players, I don't know. I just think New England has a really good chance to kind of set Gerard Mayo up for success. And I hate New England, or at least I have for you know most of my life, but I am rooting for success for Gerard Mayo. Mostly because I've been telling everybody for the last couple of years he was going to be a good head coach, and I was beating the drum that we should have hired him instead of Heupel, which, you know, I'll yield off of now. I don't think a defensive coach is what you need in college, really, unless he's just a stud like Kirby Smart. I'm fine with what we did with Josh Heupel, but that was the name I, you know, really wanted. And now he's got a chance to, you know, be a head coach. So I'm rooting for his success. I think New England is the most interesting team.
That feels like the pivot of the whole draft, too. You know, if they trade out of that spot, I think you'll get a lot of chaos.
Yeah, I won't call it the pivot point, but it's definitely like the potential, like, grenade point. And maybe those are the similar things. Maybe I'm just arguing semantics. But, like, New England has a chance to throw a grenade in the draft and, like, trade with Minnesota or trade with Vegas and really change things up.
Have you seen these rumors about the Colts trading up to 3 to try to get Marv?
I haven't seen that. I've seen him move, but trying to move up into the top 10 and maybe hopefully get neighbors is okay. What I had seen.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him get Marvin. I mean, there's all obviously the, you know, the serendipity to that if it happened, but yeah, I had not seen that one. God, if they move, yeah. I don't wonder what they'd have to give up.
Yeah,
to
you'd
move
have to move a lot, I feel yeah. like, for that, but who knows.
That's probably because you have to get to number 3 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. because Arizona's like, hey, we're good staying at 4.
Yep.
And if 4's there, we'll be really happy taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
Speaking of him, that's a good segue into he's one of the ones I'm watching. Like, again, it's a storyline, but specifically on a player. I hate this happened last year, right, with C.J. Stroud. We got closer to draft time, and there started to be some conversation, and what I'm hearing about Marvin is, oh, he's not enough of a dog, you know, he seems a little soft, and you know, all this other stuff, and I don't know, I just don't know if that's smoke sometimes that's going on or what. But
do you see the video of him and his dad, I guess, with Marty Smith? There was some interview, I guess, at Ohio State, and they were asking him, like, they're asking Marvin Harrison Sr., like, what he thinks his son should do more, and he's like, he needs to ask for the damn ball more.
There you go.
So, yeah, maybe his dad thinks he doesn't have enough dog in him, too.
Well, I'll take your dad saying it. I don't yeah. need, you know. But, yeah.
Murderer.
I just think that, I don't know. That's the part that's always fascinating to me with the draft is, again, how much chess is being played. You know, like I was saying with Harbaugh earlier, him talking up McCarthy so much, is that just him – you know, he's just trying to help his own cause. Like, hey, I got a pick here at 5. If you're JJ's awesome, let's talk.
I want to see what happens with the wide receivers. I want to see where the prospects go, like Marvin Harrison Jr., like Malik Nabers. Rome Odunze, like, it seems like he has latched on to Caleb Williams. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to their bromance, their business relationship. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like if I'm Rome Odunze, like, I'm not getting past number 9. I'm not getting past number 9. They've compared it to Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. You know, those guys got drafted the same year, and, you know, that was always kind of a safety blanket. And, you know, Andrew Luck had a guy his whole career he could grow with and that he could trust. Like, They've kind of compared that to Caleb Williams, number 1, and then they can come back and get Rome at 9. They're working out together. They're tweeting about how they're on the same flight together as they head to Detroit. Like, they seem to really be vibing.
God, if I'm DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, I look at that and be like, hey, man.
What about me?
Yeah.
Keenan's on his way out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore would probably be a little miffed a little bit if you got –
that's interesting, though.
Pick wide receiver.
If the Bears rationalize it with Keenan, like, hey man, we're just this is your understudy. Yeah, just hang tight. You're okay for a year or two.
Yeah, or maybe it's like, hey, we got a really good wide receiver room now. And DJ Moore's like, hey, it really sucked being the only receiver last year. If I'm not getting double teamed, I could put up good numbers.
It's true.
He still had pretty solid numbers, honestly.
Right. Year, yeah. But I'm saying, like, yeah, DJ Moore probably is like, yeah, DJ Moore's probably like, I'm actually like a top 10 receiver, and no one talks about me that way because I've never have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I had him on my fantasy team last year. He had that one Thursday night game. He scored like 55 fantasy points or something. I mean, it was unbelievable.
He absolutely dominated Washington that game. But yeah, like, you guys are so selfish. You're bad teammates. You hear that? You got maybe a first round wide receiver coming, and you guys are worried about, what about me? How many balls am I going to get now? So selfish. How about we just have an old veteran, a good young stud wide receiver, and now we get a rookie for them to train? Like,
you've got to be selfish as a wide receiver, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like,
wide receivers are selfish. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I want a diva, man.
Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd kind of made it work. And I know Keenan Allen's a lot better than Tyler Boyd, but, like, they made it work for a couple years.
Who makes that thing go? The diva, Jamar Chase.
We don't know. Is Jamar Chase a diva?
I think so.
Okay. I don't really think of him like he hasn't hit.
I think they all got to have a little bit of it, maybe. Is what I'm
sure, saying. But I mean, they're pretty boys, if that's what you mean. Like, they're not going to be the tough guys. I mean, like, there are very few tough wide receivers that you talk about. So, yeah, maybe they get more on the diva side. But, you know, they had a good 4-year run together.
Like,
look the wide receivers.
A.J. Brown, diva, great wide receiver.
I was just going to say.
Devontae Smith, reserved guy, doesn't really talk all that much. It doesn't do it for me.
Who's the biggest diva wide receiver right now? Diggs?
Yeah.
Diggs, yeah.
And then AJ, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more divas back, though, in the NFL.
We got plenty of divas. We got plenty of divas.
Who?
You just mentioned two big ones.
Tyreek's one.
Tyreek's kind of one, yeah.
Do you think Tyreek is a diva?
I think he's less of a diva than the two we've mentioned. But, yeah, he's, you know, yeah, he is the man, and he wants as many balls as he can catch, for sure.
I don't think of him that way. Like you said, every wide receiver has a little bit of that. I mean, like, if your point is like, hey, we don't have the Keyshawn Johnsons, the Terrell Owens anymore doing, you know, sit-ups in the driveway and Antonio Brown, like, if you're saying we're out of the golden age of divas, yeah. I'm not going to argue that. Yeah. But I think Stephon Diggs is carrying that mantle pretty good.
Sure.
But if you look at the actual, like, elite receivers, so we have, like, that list of top eight, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, not a diva. Justin Jefferson, not yet. I think Justin Jefferson's next, though. Mm-hmm. I think Justin Jefferson's got some diva in him, and we're probably going to be like, you know what, it makes sense because he's tired of catching passes from a rookie quarterback. But maybe not. Maybe he'll just ride it out and be a good – you know, he didn't really complain enough last year for catching hospital balls from our boy Josh Dobbs. Like, Josh Dobbs actually got him sent to the hospital and, like, maybe got his ribs broken on a high pass, and he didn't say nothing.
Yeah, you are right.
I felt Devontae was starting to get into – a little bit of diva range last year. I think it was just out of frustration, but
see, I feel like if he had that, he would have already brought it up. Like, he kind of stayed quiet from as far as I know of Devonta.
He'd do some in-game tantrums.
I think he just really hated McDaniels.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got a lot better once Antonio Pierce came back. And he was almost like the big team player of that team once Pierce came over.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Devonta Smith. I'm sorry. You're talking Devonta Adams. Okay. Sorry.
No, I would agree with you, Sam, on that. I think you're right. It might have been. There were a lot of frustrated guys in the McDaniels era.
Yeah, Adams is bowling up for sure. And I think he's been pretty nonchalant. But once he got to Vegas, he's kind of like, oh, man, I messed up. I shouldn't have left Green Bay. Now I'm just kind of unhappy.
Yeah.
We are kind of in an age. Maybe you're right, Sam. Maybe there aren't enough divas. Maybe it's just Diggs. Because even like Brandon Ayuk, who's requested a trade, isn't like pouting about it. He's just like, hey, I want to get paid.
Yeah.
And I would never call him a diva. He's tough. Like, Brandon Ayuk's about as tough as receivers we've had since Anquan Boldin. I mean, just the way he plays, at least. I think of Ayuk not as soft at all.
I want a guy doing like a tantrum out on Twitter or something like that.
Need T. Higgins to really light it up tonight?
Yeah.
Get me out of here?
Yeah.
Go ghost. AJ and Diggs are kind of the only two we have, but they're both pretty big, though.
Yeah, they're big, for sure.
Couple years removed, would you have considered OBJ as one during its peak? I'd say
for
so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Carried the torch.
Yeah.
Roma Dunze doesn't give me those vibes.
Mm-mm.
I don't know enough about Malik Nabers' personality. Like, I could see Marvin Harrison Jr. getting labeled as a diva, but just because he's quiet and, like, standoffish from his teammates.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily connect, doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Didn't show up for the combine.
Didn't show up for the combine. Isn't at voluntarily workouts. He's unhappy in Arizona. Like, if he gets drafted by Arizona at 4, like, the rumors might start swirling already that, like, hey, he's unhappy.
That could be an all-time kind of diva pairing between him and Kyler. Because Now, Kyler kind of towed the line last season, but remember the year before, man, he was acting out on the field and everything else.
Well, he got to toe the line last year because they were just bad whenever he got back. Like, he got back from injury, and there was no pressure. There were no expectations. Like, how does he handle a season where, he's under the microscope? And I'm not saying they have expectations and aspirations to, like, win a championship or even maybe win the division or make the playoffs. But, like, they're a team that people think can be back to being an 8 or 9 win team. And that Kyler, kind of is, I don't want to say a make or break year, but, like, needs to show whether or not he's the guy that you can build around.
I feel like he's kind of slept on.
Kyler?
I'm kind of interested in where the Cardinals go.
Well, I'm interested in him, too. I don't think he slept on. Now, I definitely think he's no longer, like, under the microscope. I think it got a little too much 2 years ago when you're like, hey, this guy really loves Call of Duty. This guy really loves his video games, and they're putting clauses in his contract to make sure he has ample study time and all that. Like, I would say he was under the microscope 2 years ago. Last year, just completely off the radar just because the Cardinals were bad. But I did think he played well when he got back. Cardinals were a good team to bet on kind of at the end of the year, kind of the same as the Bears. Like, they were
scrappy.
They were scrappy, yeah. Like, they were a good, reliable underdog team that didn't quit, that played hard. But as far as Kyler goes, when you say he slept on, you rank him where in quarterbacks? You don't have to give me an exact number, but just a ballpark. Bob, have your answer ready.
12 to 15, maybe?
Okay. Because, I mean, there was times he looked like he was maybe headed for the top five. There was times he maybe looked like he was headed for the top five, over the last couple years. And now he's settled 12 to 15. I have no issue with that. Bob?
I'd struggle to have him in the top 15, okay, honestly.
So maybe Bob is sleeping on him. Or maybe you're overrating him. I don't know. With anything, you actually have to work on the list and get him out and be like, okay, mm-hmm, this guy or this guy.
Yeah, I agree. This year is kind of a show me year. He's got to do it.
Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Drake May?
God.
This is if you have the choice. You could take contract into consideration, too, if you want.
I'd probably take Drake May. Size matters, I think. I really believe that. I've always felt like watching Kyler Murray is like watching a 10-year-old out there scrambling around. He's got skill. I'm not, bemoaning that.
It's funny to look at, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for him to get killed. That's what I keep worried about.
Jaden Daniels or Kyler Murray?
Oh, Jaden Daniels.
J.J. McCarthy?
You've heard my skepticism on J.J. I'd take Kyler.
Okay. Michael Penix?
Probably Kyler, just because of Penix's injury risk.
And then, like, in terms of, like, established quarterbacks, like, where do we have to go on the list? Like, Deshaun Watson or Kyler?
I'd take Kyler.
I think I'd take Kyler.
Tua?
That's a good one.
I like Tua.
That's a good one.
I'm a little biased. I like Tua, so I'd probably take Tua.
I think if you threw Kyler Murray into the Dolphins system, he's just as good.
That's what I was about to say. Like, if you put Tua with the Cardinals, he dies. Mm-hmm. If you put Kyler with Mike McDaniel, probably looks like a different guy. Like, I'd say Kyler Murray looks pretty good throwing the ball to Tyreek and Waddle as well.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you can't really use the size thing either with Tua. I mean, he's a little bit bigger, but he's got the injury concerns too.
Right.
The mobility of Kyler with all that speed in Miami, that'd be nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm taking Kyler there too.
It would make Miami's offense even better because he could, then you have the threat of him running too.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Justin Fields / Russell Wilson or Kyler?
I'm still not out on Justin Fields. I think I'd go
over Kyler?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take Kyler.
Trevor Lawrence?
I'd take Trevor.
I think Kyler Murray, honestly.
Anthony Richardson?
AR.
Yeah, do you have to ask?
Oh, yeah, I just didn't know if we're going crazy doing backflips over, like, what, 3 games, 4 games? I just didn't know. I mean, it seems like everyone's just got in their head that he's just a stud. I haven't seen enough to think that.
I do worry about him being an injury risk, though. He's got to get smarter out there.
I kind of want Marvin Harrison Jr. to end up there in Arizona to give, them an actual number one receiver and to see how that goes. Because I go back and forth on how I feel about Murray.
Who's their – is Connor still their RB1?
I believe so, yeah.
Surely not next year. Surely they find somebody else here in the draft or – yeah, I would imagine they come out with a running back in the draft. A little bit more explosiveness. Let's talk about the quarterbacks coming up after the break as we continue to talk about the NFL draft. Tonight, make plans to hang out with us, the Fan Run crew, the Fan Run War Room, 8 o'clock on your Fan Run Radio app and exclusively on video on the Fan Run Sports YouTube channel. Excited to see Marcus leading the show. He's really stressing out about it. He's really trying to make this his baby. So I'm excited to see what he comes up with. The Fan Run War Room. 8 o'clock, exclusively on YouTube and the Fan Run Radio app. We'll talk quarterbacks coming up next.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Eddie Garcia.
In the NBA playoffs, both the number one seeds in each conference were in action. One of them won, the other one...
Are you worried about quarterbacks' ages in the draft? Because it looks like you're going to have three of the top eight oldest quarterbacks drafted. Maybe tonight. Should be tonight. Or possibly tonight. Possibly tonight. The oldest quarterback drafted in the first round, Brandon Whedon, Oklahoma State.
Forgot about him.
I did too.
At least
like 26, wasn't he?
Maybe this is in the last X amount of years, because I want to say, was Chris Winkie not a first round pick? Was he not old? I mean, Chris Winkie was.
He was old. I don't know if he was a first round pick.
For some reason, I thought Carolina drafted him in the first round. Maybe not. Maybe this is since like 2000 or so. He was selected by the Panthers in 2001. I don't know where he got drafted. Either way, no, round four. Yeah, not drafted, but was the Panthers, and it was 2001, not 99. Anyways. Whedon, the oldest, 28 and a half. But, like, the next two oldest might be drafted tonight.
Did you say 28 and a half?
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah, he played, like, professional baseball.
Yeah, I remember that.
For a while. He was 28 and a half, which seems like a really dumb draft pick by the Browns. Feels like people should have maybe looked at that more and been like, hey.
On par for the Browns.
This seems like a bad idea. But you have the chance to have the second and third highest with Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. A lot of people have talked about that with those two. However, I don't feel like people have kept that same energy with Jaden Daniels, who would be the eighth oldest first-round pick. He's 23 and a third, 23.3 or whatever. 0.7, I don't know how you do 0.7 in years, but 0.7 less than Penix. So Penix is 24... They've given Daniels credit for 23.3. I don't know how drastic that difference is, but like I haven't heard the age stuff talked about with Jaden Daniels. Have you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Penix, that's all you hear. Like age, yeah. Injuries too, but age, especially for Bo Nix, age. Whereas Daniels, maybe he's just like, hey, getting to skirt past that. I don't know.
Is it just something that's subliminal with, you know, Daniels is just such – he seems so much more mobile than those guys, you know, as a runner and all those things. You just – he's like more spry, you know, and so you just don't think about the age part of it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe also, like, just didn't play, like – like, Bo Nix has felt – Bo Nix feels old because we've known Bo Nix since a freshman, whereas Daniels played as a freshman but kind of, like, hung around in Arizona State, and people don't really remember the Arizona State times. Like, there was a clip that went viral yesterday of him throwing a pass to Brandon Ayuk in, like, 2019 or 2020, maybe during the COVID season, like –
I think it's the steady climb of improvement for Jaden Daniels that makes people think that, like, okay, he's just getting better with age almost, where it's like Bo Nix, he's, what, 24, 25 here in college, and you feel like you've had the same season for him.
Well,
for
we probably have some bias being down here in SEC country. We saw so much of Bo Nix, too, you know? Yeah. So you just you kind of gravitate towards that, like, Jesus, he's still playing.
See, I almost say it's the opposite. Like, I think Jaden Daniels is closer to who he was as a freshman than Bo Nix was. I feel like Bo Nix got a lot better. I feel like Michael Penix got a lot better, you know, at least this year compared to the last couple years for him. He was good during the COVID year in 2020, but, like, had a pretty bad 21 and 22. and was back to being a stud in 23. Whereas I feel like if you put on Daniels' true freshman film, has he improved? Yes, of course he's improved, and the numbers have improved a lot. But like, he's, to me, closer. You saw the explosiveness. You saw the skill there as a freshman. The oldest quarterbacks drafted the first round: Brandon Weeden, Kenny Pickett was just shy of 24, Ryan Tannehill was just shy of 24, Joe Burrow 23.4, Carson Wentz 23.3. When I tell you the other oldest quarterbacks drafted, does that make you feel better or less about drafting an old quarterback? Or just kind of say, yeah, it's hit or miss. It's 50-50.
Repeat them again. Burrow.
Brandon Weeden sucked.
Yep.
Kenny Pickett more so sucks. I think. Yeah.
Sucks.
Feels like he sucks.
Sucks for sure, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, I think, was a solid first-round quarterback. He wasn't great, but I don't think he sucked. Even in Miami, I thought he was solid. He was fine.
How long did he play in college at quarterback? When didn't he start as a receiver?
He started at wide receiver. I want to say, was he only quarterback for a year?
I thought it was only like maybe two seasons.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's two.
Okay. Joe Burrow doesn't suck. Really good.
No.
And I'll say Carson Wentz was really good until he got hurt. Now, maybe that was too small of a sample size to make a declaration that he didn't suck. But before he got hurt on that Sunday Night Football game, he was maybe going to be MVP that year.
He was on MVP trajectory for sure. So your question is,
do you feel like age matters, I guess? Because like I think if I gave you a list of any just first-round quarterbacks taken, no matter what their age was, you would have the same hit rate. It would still be kind of 50-50.
I don't think it's age. I mean, I think Brandon Weeden would be a questionable NFL quarterback, even if he was a few years younger when he came out.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would say, framing it that way, I'd say I don't think I'd be as concerned about age.
Yeah, maybe it makes me feel a little bit better about Michael Penix, unless you're just really worried about his knees just being shot and like dying, which is kind of a similar question. He's got it even ramped up compared to what Hendon Hooker had. Who was a better college quarterback, Penix or Hooker? Penix, right?
Yeah. He had more than Hendon's. He had a bigger body of work, I felt, between Indiana and Washington.
It's hard to differentiate that one. Hooker's got so much of an emotional value there.
Yeah, but like even his ceiling, if you just did their best seasons, you know, their last seasons, their senior seasons, like Hendon Hooker 2022 or Michael Penix last year, like who?
Probably Penix.
Yeah. I'd say Penix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I would say, if I was an NFL scout, I would have questions about Penix in the pocket because he never leaves it. Like, he doesn't ever want to run. And maybe I should say that more than just, like, leaving the pocket, because I'm sure he moves around the pocket some. But, like, just he never uses his athleticism to run. Because I know people were, like, really, you know, gushing over his, like, 4.56 40-yard dash. It's like, wow, he's fast. Yeah, he is. But, like, if you don't use it, does it matter? And maybe he can't use it now with the knee injuries. Like, maybe he can't. Whereas Hooker showed that he was more dynamic as a runner. Torn ACL. Like, if Hooker didn't have the torn ACL, does he get drafted higher last year?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you don't think it was his age and, like, the Josh Heupel offense that held him back? You think it was just, hey, he's got a banged-up knee?
Age and knee, I think, is definitely not a great combo if you've got to have it. Rehabbing 24-year-old, I think that drops you down the boards a little bit.
If I recall correctly, I mean, he was still trending in some conversation as a late first-round pick even post-injury.
I mean, like draft day. Like, yeah, draft exactly. Week, he was the guy that you looked at as the quarterback that had all the steam that was, hey, he might end up as a first-round pick, and then, of course, wasn't a first-round pick or a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't disagree with the knee thing. Like, I think it was more likely. Do I think he's a first rounder without the knee issue? Probably not.
I thought he was a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I don't know. I just thought that age thing was interesting. A, because like it doesn't show that there's really any rhyme or reason to hits or misses, because I think, you know, Burrow and Wentz and Tannehill, I think, were hits. I think Pickett sucked. Weeden, of course, sucked. So, like, I don't think you should really judge Bo Nix because of that. And I don't think, like, it should really hurt Michael Penix.
Do you think that's an advantage, too, coming in? If you've got a guy that's been able to learn a system for, like, 5 years, you know? I mean, he's got experience in terms of doing everything.
Well, you would say it definitely helped Joe Burrow.
Right.
But like the other guys, I don't feel like I didn't see Kenny Pickett as like more mature and like actually like have a grasp on playing quarterback. You know what I mean? I think it really just highlights just how every pick at the quarterback position is a crapshoot. There's no like one thing you can look at and make size. Let's get size because Brock Osweiler, he had size. Yeah, he couldn't play. Athleticism. Paxton Lynch had athleticism. Jake Locker had athleticism. Couldn't play. Age. Lamar Jackson was 21, you know, when he got drafted. He was young. And he came in as a rookie, you know, halfway through the year and was awesome. Anthony Richardson, you know, Bob's already sold on him. He was in the same position as Lamar, right, in terms of being really young when he was starting. So, right. Like, it wasn't like he needed time to sit. He just threw him in there, and, you know, he was solid last year whenever he played. Now he got hurt, maybe because of a little youthful exuberance, right? I mean, he's kind of running a little too recklessly. Like, So, like, I mean, like, maybe he's a little bit older, he wouldn't run that way anymore. Maybe Michael Penix is like, hey, I don't run that way. And Jaden Daniels is old at LSU last year, and he's trying to hurdle people. So, like, I don't think there's anything you could point to and be like, hey, this equals success, this equals failure. I just thought it was also interesting that Jaden Daniels, I haven't really heard his age get pinged at all for him.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I agree.
He's up there a little bit.
Also haven't heard the old S2 cognition test come up at all this year either.
CJ Stroud killed the cognitive test. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Good point by you. I haven't heard that mentioned once from any player, really. I didn't hear any Wonderlic scores. I don't know if that's like our journalism becoming woke, like, hey, we don't want to laugh at these guys for low scores anymore, or if it's just CJ Stroud taking a blowtorch to it and being like, it doesn't matter. Who cares? I can ball. Watch me.
So this is a couple hours old, but it's probably one of the more recent mock drafts. Peter Schrager put his out. Did you guys see it?
I did.
Titans fans, you should like it.
I mean, if you told me that this happened for the Titans, I would be doing backflips trying to do backflips. I got into an argument with friends over the summer. They said I couldn't do a backflip. I said it was close enough. But either way, I'd be trying to do my backflip because he had the Titans getting Joe Walt at number 11 and getting some trades, extra picks from the Vikings. Had J.C. Latham. J.C. Latham's got a lot of buzz around him this morning. J.C. Latham getting slotted number 5 to the Chargers a lot. Said Harbaugh loves him. And Harbaugh doesn't care about rankings and the mock drafts having Alt ahead of him. Says they think J.C. Latham is the Chargers guy.
I think they just don't want to slide Joe Alt to the right side.
Right.
They want that.
You talk about, you know, pivot points, grenade spots. Like, to me, New England, Arizona, they got some chances, but to me it's number 5 with the Chargers. Like what they do. Because you could tell me they do anything. You tell me they take a quarterback, it wouldn't shock me if they traded Justin Herbert. Like you wouldn't be like, oh, wow, I can't see this coming for Harbaugh because Harbaugh's a maniac. You could tell me they take a wide receiver. You could tell me they take an offensive lineman. Hell, you could tell me they take a pass rusher. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at anything they do.
Harbaugh's going to have his hands all over that draft too, you know. You're right. He'll probably do some crazy stuff.
Or maybe he keeps it simple and just takes, you know, Joel Halter or Malik Nabers, whoever's there. I don't know. Like, but to me, like, the draft, I don't want to say starts at 5 because there's always possible people trade up. And I think here in a couple hours, you'll have some Hail Mary talk. Like, I think you'll get one more push of, like, Vegas trying aggressively to get to number 2, trying to convince Washington to move back, or maybe aggressively trying to get to number 3. Jaden Daniels like wants to go to Vegas, and if I am on the phone with them, I'm trying to tell Washington, like, look, he doesn't want to go, bro. He wants to play with me, Antonio Pierce, who was at Arizona State with him as a freshman. Like, that's my boy. He wants to play with me. He don't even want to be there. Just take Drake May. You don't even want him. Trust me. You don't want a quarterback that doesn't want to be there. But I think Vegas will like get a lot of rumors about trying to move up to get a quarterback. I think that's going to come over the next couple of hours, kind of like the Titans last year, where he kept rumor that they were trying to move up aggressively for C.J. Stroud. Of course, they didn't. We're supposed to have Jordan DeJani up at the top of the hour. I texted him. No text back yet. Hopefully, he's awake in Nashville. If not, we'll still keep talking the NFL draft, either with or without Jordan DeJani of CBS Sports. Stick with us.